Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guests Pia Orlean and Cullen Baird-Smith, who are the authors of Remembering Who We Are, Larkema's Guidance on Healing the Human Condition. This is one of a series of books on Palladian information about what we're going through, which I think is really important right now because a lot of people are going through significant spiritual changes, often with physical and emotional side effects that are unusual and sometimes disturbing. The side effects that I've been having are more sleeping a lot, like sleeping for 17 hours in a row, which normally I would think would not be even possible. But I think many of us are experiencing the energies that are coming in that are helping us through this ascension process. And because we're kind of stuck in space and time here, most of us don't really understand what's going on. And we do need the perspective of beings that perhaps live outside of the third dimension, which the Palladians do, to understand what's going on. So I think that you'll find this interview interesting and informative and actually very important for what's going on. So thank you both for joining me today.
We are delighted to be with you and interested in all these topics that you're sharing with your audience. We're glad to be here.
Thank you for including us in your program today. We appreciate it very much.
Yes, well, we've been working with the Palladians for a long time, and the Palladians are one of several groups that are helping humans through this shift. And would you like to give our listening audience a little bit of information of how you were contacted by the Palladians for this particular mission?
Well, we were operating in a very different realm. I'm a clinical psychologist by training and trade.
And I'm a forensic anthropologist archaeologist in my university training.
So we were doing consultations and things of another nature entirely, and strange things began to happen in our lives that were definable in third-dimensional reality.
But inexplicable in normal conditions or situations.
Such as water taps turning on, footsteps in the hall.
Lights turning on and off. Things,
right.
Things that normal people or normal situations would probably call poltergeist influences, and we knew immediately that that was not the case.
It is not a poltergeist at all because the energy felt different, but this began immediately upon our joining our lives together, and within a number of months, we were sitting down to a celebratory birthday meal on Cullen's birthday. We lived high in the mountains, and a shortwave radio was our only source of communication with the outside world where we lived.
We lived in a canyon at about between 9 and 10,000 feet, and we had no cell phone reception, sketchy landline reception, no television, and the shortwave radio was really our only way of getting information if we were interested in what was going on in the outside world.
So the radio turned itself on exactly at the hour of Cullen's birth, and we noticed that, thought it was a bit unusual, got up and turned it off, and then over the next week, it continued to happen every single evening at exactly the same time, even when we plugged it into different outlets or when we unplugged it completely from the wall.
So we began
Don't you
to
love
under-
that one? That's great.
We began to understand that this was an unusual occurrence, and after about a week of this, we actually began to sit down in front of the radio in anticipation that it would indeed turn itself back on again.
As we did this, when the night that we sat down next to it, we asked, when the radio turned itself on, who are you, what do you want, how can we help?
And Pia and I both simultaneously began to hear information, but not auditory through our ears. We were hearing it through our minds. I guess we would call it mind thoughts. And we started to talk to each other about it, and one of us would say, I just got the most amazing message.
And I would say something like, or Cullen would say something like, we are one of six and six of one, which is how this group introduced themselves to us. And if I said that, Cullen would say, that's exactly what I got.
Verbatim.
Right.
So we were receiving quickly confirmation that what was coming through was not delusional. It was something that both of us were experiencing that was very real. So to fast forward a bit, we tried for a few days to take furious notes with everything they were telling us, and that didn't work. We couldn't keep up with them, so we started recording the information.
And there was a transition there between just the thought forms and actually being able to hear them auditorially. And that is when it stepped up, and it became so amazingly filled with information. They were giving us information about quantum physics,
binary systems, advanced medicine.
Medicine that we don't even understand at this point in our scientific medical model. And so we realized that this information was quite, quite deep and interesting.
And they asked us if this, at some point along the journey, would we be willing to take this information into the world? And it didn't take us more than a heartbeat to say this was more important than what we were doing in our simultaneous careers at that time and say, let's change our lives. And so we did.
So laughingly for Pia, as a clinical psychologist, it was interesting for her to begin to tell her colleagues
that I was hearing voices.
Uh-oh.
Actually, they were all very, very supportive and interested, so it turned out really well. I had a good reputation, and they were pleased and interested, so it was good. A sign of the changing times, that a paradigm can be open to new incoming information and perspectives.
So this all occurred about a decade ago, and we've been traveling the world bringing the information that these wonderful beings wish to help humanity with. So we have spoken all over this country, and we've spent a great deal of time in Europe, Russia,
South America, other places.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our passion, this is our life work now, and we're very happy to be sharing it with your listeners.
Well, why don't we start with a little bit about the group, where Palladians naturally exist within the order of things, and why they're here to help us.
The simple question about why they're here to help us is that they love us, and they have gone through their own evolutionary process, and they want to assist in the evolution of humanity and the ascension of the Earth.
They call themselves Pleiadian for the simple understanding of humans that there is a star group called the Pleiades. But they tell us that they are from much, much further out in the galaxy or the universe, but they use the Pleiadian star system as their base. They are a much, much older society than
we might have understood, because we tend to view everything in proximity to where we can see or understand through our own scientific view of our own universe. So the Pleiades is actually a workstation for them to be close by to Earth and to gather with other star groups that are here to help humanity evolve.
And they're, as Pia said a moment ago, their complete interest in us is that they simply want to help us evolve in a way that has to do with truly only three elements. The first element is love, because they tell us that the strongest and the most potent energy in the universe is love. And because they are a unified group, when they introduced themselves to us and they said, we are one of six and six of one, we had a little bit of a hard time understanding what that meant. So they explained to us that that meant that there are six individuals working together as a unified group of six. So they have their own individual ideas, their own individual interests, but they work together as a unit for the highest good of all, not only their group of six, but the Pleiadian social structure and what they tell us is the way the rest of the universe works. And the second two points are unity and community. So their interests are love, unity, and community.
And would you give the listening audience a little bit of idea of the different books that came through and the order in which they came through?
Sure. The first book is called Conversations with LARCMA, because this group cannot express their name in our language as they express it in their own. They speak with heart tones and mathematical tones. So if we were to closely approximate their name, it would be
LARCMA,
more musically, but in English, it's LARCMA. So the first book is Conversations with LARCMA, A Pleiadian View of the New Reality. And that book is a compilation of the recorded sessions that we did publicly and privately over the first year.
Couple of years
that we were receiving and sharing this information.
We look at this first book as a primer to their information to familiarize humanity with why they're here and what they have to offer.
The second book is called Remembering Who We Are, LARCMA's Guidance on Healing the Human Condition. Because the human condition is, as everybody knows, lost in what we have forgotten. And if we simply begin to remember and to make conscious choices, we can consciously heal all the imbalances that are within us. So the second book was dictated by LARCMA directly to us, and we just simply edited it for flow.
Okay. And that's the book we're primarily talking about today.
Yes, that's the one mostly focused on health and healing imbalances.
Right. I found it interesting in terms of what the group had to say about what we're going through right now, the ascension process. Would you like to cover that a little bit for our listeners?
Sure. We as human beings have always believed that we have a karmic cycle that we create and complete. And that is a karmic wheel where we are born and we die. We learn lessons during the lifetime, and then we come back again and we learn a new set of lessons in a progressive way. We are now being shown and instructed that we don't have to choose that form of ascension, the ascension form through death, that we can actually dismiss karma altogether by making conscious choices in every single present moment. And then there is no karmic effect. We don't have to have something that we learn and go, oops, I won't do that again, and then re-experience it in a different way. Instead, we simply make conscious choices moment by moment. And in doing that, it allows us a different form of ascension.
LARCMA tells humanity that what goes on this planet, on Earth, is remarkably different than what occurs in other places around the universe. They tell us that we have absolute human choice, that the ability to make choices whenever we wish molds and creates our actual reality. So when they talk about karma being an old paradigm or an old way of gaining knowledge, moving on, progressing, what they're telling us is that by our human choice, which they say is unusual, that does not occur everywhere else in the universe as strongly as it does here, that by making responsible, and I'm underlining that word, responsible human choices, we don't have to go through what Pia said in the old process. So they say that this is a more direct way of learning what we need to learn and moving forward, but not in a linear way, in a spiraling, in a different kind of way.
In an escalating level of vibrations. And that type of ascension allows us to meld together our physical bodies and our light bodies, and what LARCMA calls creating a rainbow body, a body that incorporates all energies that are possible and allows us to interact in the universe in the way that they do, in wave form rather than...
Simply physically.
Yeah, I think if you have read Urantia, you may understand a little bit about why we're unique. Urantia is a book brought in the 1940s, I believe, by a group of channelers who were highly educated. And it basically talks about the Luciferian Rebellion, where Lucifer, who was an angel over, I think, about 36 planets, petitioned the administration for more free will for his 36 planets, and it was granted. And so we're one of these planets that has free will, whereas the remainder of the, you know, multidimensional universes do not. It is much more, free will does not exist. So we are a free will experiment here. And my understanding is that the ascension is the end of the Luciferian experiment on free will. So that it's like a culmination of, you know, the experiment's over, now these energies are coming in to help us, that actually Larkmuth talks about these energies coming in, and that is going to help us get out of this lowered vibrational place that we're in, where time and space exists, for example.
I think that is well said.
I think that's absolutely accurate and truthful in what Larkma brings. I think there's a great resonance in that information.
There's a continuity between what you're discussing about Urantia and what Larkma brings through, and it comes from many different systems. It comes through in the end of the Kali Yuga, from the Yuga system of the Indian sciences. It comes through from the end of the Mayan calendar, or the Cherokee predictions of this time, or the Hopi. It comes in many different forms of showing us that we are at a time where we no longer have to do things the way we did. As you said, the experiment is over, and now we get to choose to do it differently.
What we're noticing personally and through Larkma's help is that the energies that are presenting themselves right now in this dimension where we live are absolutely different than they have been. Some of the information that we receive tells us that the energies are different than what humanity has experienced for the entire past 26,000 years, that we're actually being given information, energy, and wisdom that has never been available to humanity before in the form that it's being given to us now.
But it's not all just energy in terms of what we are experiencing physically, although you mentioned right at the beginning about how this is affecting our physical bodies. It's physical, it's emotional, it's mental, it's affecting us on many, many different levels because we are simply changing environments.
And I just wanted to share something that Michael the Archangel shared with our clairvoyant, our group of meditations. We've been meeting weekly since 1990, so this is a long-term group. Michael said that the energies coming in would affect different people differently. If your chakras were in alignment and were healthy, then you would become younger, more healthy. You would literally become younger, which is interesting. You know, your physical form would not only stop aging, but would actually be younger, which is interesting. I'm a plastic surgeon, so, you know, that might mean that people don't need as much plastic surgery. And he said that if your chakras were out of alignment, that you would probably start creating physical disease and certainly emotional disease at a very, very high rate. So that I'm tying back to something that Yogi Bhajan said, that in this time there would be a huge amount of neurological disorders and mental and psychiatric disorders. And I think that this is what we're seeing.
I think we're experiencing all of what you just explained. We're finding that different people around the world are experiencing things completely differently. Because we talk to people worldwide on a daily basis, we get many, many stories of people's experiences with this. And some people are experiencing absolute bliss. They are happier than they have ever been in their lives. And in the opposite direction, we're hearing stories about people who are having incredibly painful and suffering experiences where their bodies are apparently rebelling, or they're having physical experiences that are very, very challenging.
Or all of their emotions are coming up in an intensified way.
So what you just said, we think, is quite accurate.
Well, Michael the Archangel has given really accurate information over the years, as you can imagine.
Well, the truth is the truth, and it comes from many, many, many different avenues and different ways. And if it resonates with our hearts and we know that we're affected by it, then we can rely on the fact that it is the truth.
Yeah, and I think that this makes sense because remember, it says, I mean, Jesus came to give us the message that we're going into a time of brotherhood, but you can't really get there by killing off all the terrorists, if you see what I mean.
Oh,
it's not going to happen like that. You can't get peace by killing off all the unpeaceful people. So you're not going to get there by any means other than something like this that's energetic. This energy is supporting people who are peaceful, loving, and with the proper emotions, and then kind of disrailing the people who are using their emotions incorrectly or who are having bad intents and thoughts and, you know, and basically bringing it right down into the physical, which Larkema told you that it eventually always gets to the physical. I mean, they said nothing can be done in the mental and emotional range without it affecting our physical bodies, just by the way everything's set up.
I think that is something that we humans need to pay a little more attention to be able to understand, because everything is energy, as you well know. And humanity tends to think of everything as, oh, this is my physical and my real experience, and that energy stuff, I don't know about that. But actually, one of the most potent things we have is the combination of our thoughts and our feeling states. And when we put those two together, we power an energy that affects and reverberates not only throughout our own systems at a cellular level, but also out into the world and further out into the universe, because that is powerful energy. So we can either choose to think thoughts and have emotions that are uncomfortable and angry and fearful and scared and all of these things, and send that energy out, which causes a contraction at a cellular level in our own bodies and causes more separation in the external world. Or we can consciously choose thoughts of compassion, peace, trust, love, joy, which is more a more expansive energy that allows us to actually connect more rather than separating ourselves into these little groups of war.
Yeah, Larkema talks a lot about judgment and how it's not healthy for us. In fact, we have a cancer clinic here, so one thing that caught my eye is that, you know, cancer is judgment. And I noticed that too. A lot of people with cancer see themselves as victims. So they're in that victim-victimizer, you know, dichotomy. So whenever you are a victim, that means you are judging yourself less than who you are. You're not who you really are. You're judging yourself to be less than what you are, and then judging somebody else to be able to victimize you.
That's a very good insight and very well expressed.
Yes, we've noticed this also with what Larkema calls dis-ease. They pronounce it that way instead of disease. And they say that probably all dis-ease comes from either judgment, whether that's self-judgment or outer judgment, or blame. We've noticed that a lot of cancer patients feel that they're not really respected or loved, whether it's within their nuclear family, their spouse particularly, their children,
their
jobs, or the outer society itself. So that concept of victimization connected with judgment and blame, we think is a quite potent activating energy. So we agree with you completely on that idea.
Yeah, and I do want to mention, in case there's anybody with cancer listening, that's not the only thing. Obviously, if you get exposed to radiation, say it's Chernobyl, you're likely to get thyroid cancer. If you get exposed to a bunch of toxic chemicals that are carcinogens, you're also likely to get cancer. So, you know, it has to do with the energy of the organ, but I will tell you that the primary problem we see with the first initial presentation of cancer is this emotional state. Because we muscle test. We use applied kinesiology to figure out which is the primary problem. But there are secondary problems. Like 85% of breast cancer is in the upper outer quadrant, and that happens to be where toxic chemicals are deposited. So you see, it's not, you know, there are some other things that go into cancer as well.
Oh, we certainly agree with that.
That's really important that you express that to your listeners, too, because if someone's listening and they're thinking that it's only about what they think and judging and blaming, then they're automatically judging and blaming themselves all over again for having the cancer.
Yeah, and I recently had a conversation with Burton Goldberg. You may know Burton because he's was the editor of Alternative Medicine. And I said to him, I said, Burton, I'm finding that about half of my breast cancer patients are on geopathic stress lines, you know, because we test for geopathic stress. And he says, oh, no, Susan, it's much higher than that. And probably I'm only seeing half of it because you also have hormonal and toxic chemical in breast, especially hormonal, okay? But he's saying that geopathic stress is also a contributor. So if you have cancer or have a loved one with cancer, muscle test them to see if they have geopathic stress either on their desk or a chair where they spend a lot of time or sleeping in their bed. And if they do, get them off that geopathic stress line. I want to say that because it's a lot more common than we know.
It's amazing. There are an amazing amount of data and research about power stations, the effect of electrical power stations and people who live near them or the high-intensity power lines that travel from them out.
Right.
And you're absolutely correct. There's an amazing amount of geopathic stress that comes from man-made generation of electricity in the way we think it's the only way we can do it. So you're absolutely right about that.
And they can also be underground streams, so you really wouldn't know that was there other than testing with something like applied kinesiology. But in general, what we find is that it's pretty easy to get away from them because they're not real wide. Okay, a few feet in either direction is all you need to move for the underground stuff. Now, if somebody built a cell tower right near where you live or work, or if you've got those big generator stations, you know, those big things that transfer electricity, you might not want to sleep in that area. What I was told in meditation was that when we're conscious, we have a lot more protection. But when we sleep, some of the protection that we have goes with us wherever we go when we sleep, and the body is not as well protected from these electromagnetic things.
Yes, absolutely.
So be careful where you sleep and know what's around you, especially if it's a new power station or a new cell phone tower.
We do something that Larkma has enhanced our abilities to do and that we're sharing with others called energy dowsing. Most people are familiar with water dowsing, but we have worked with a specialist in England who taught energy dowsing, and we do that now everywhere we go, and we are encouraging other people to learn how to energy douse by paying attention to what you feel in your body, so that you can douse for yourself. Is this place safe for me? Is there a problem here that's causing me some sort of imbalance within my physical, my mental, my emotional? What do I need to know about what I feel? So it's a connection.
We used to do this with dowsing rods, and we still like to use dowsing rods from time to time. But Larkma showed us that we could use the chakras in our hands to do the same thing without the use of the dowsing rods. So we simply use our hands. We just put them out towards the ground, parallel with the ground as we walk, and we just ask, is this a favorable space? Is this a congested space? Or many other questions like that. And it's amazing. Our body wisdom is so deeply correct. If we simply begin to listen to and trust our body wisdom, we can get information like that, which is very akin and similar to kinesiology. So it's very interesting.
And one way to begin doing that is to simply take your shoes off and have your feet barefoot on the ground so that your chakras and your feet are in direct connection with the ground, and that enhances your ability to feel with your hands.
There was a funny story that I heard about hand energy dousing that you might find funny. There was this one woman who said that she went to Vegas and she would go by the slot machines, and whenever there was one that was about to give a payoff, her hand would tingle.
That's a great story.
Yeah, well, it's another confirmation that we can get information through our palms. There's a lot more nerves. I mean, I'm a hand surgeon, so I know. If you cut your hand or your feet, that's a lot more painful than cutting your arm or your leg. You know, it just is. A lot more nerves in that area.
Well, I have a personal experience with that. Approximately a year ago, I went through, I pierced my hand with a sharp object in an accident, and I understand what you're saying. Working with a plastic surgeon, hand surgeon, and going through that whole process of rehabilitation with physical therapy, so I am an absolute believer in the understanding of how powerful and how complex the makeup of the hand is.
It really is. It's a real great field to be in because it's not, it's function, you know, that you've got to get function back.
Yeah.
Of course you want it to look good too, but it's not like function is the most important thing, obviously. Especially
yes.
if you make your living with your hands, as many people do. So well, let's talk a little bit more about the advice that Larkema is giving for this particular time period when we are experiencing these energies coming in that maybe, you know, are just starting, probably since 2012, just starting to come in.
Well, that's an interesting timeline to begin this discussion about that. Everyone expected the world and possibly the universe to change when the Mayan calendar was purportedly designed to stop in 2012. And the Mayan calendar did not cease to exist in 2012. What it did was it simply changed how it monitored or described the energies that are available.
Mm-hmm.
Mayan calendar was never about time anyway. It was always about how we perceive energy. And as we understand it from Larkema, the energies were presenting in a sequential manner so that we could learn to understand them for 5,000 years. And when the energy shifted in 2012, all energies began to present sequentially so that we have more application of choice into how we enter in with each energy.
They were presenting themselves sequentially, and then they began to present themselves simultaneously.
Yes. Sorry, got that backwards. It's simultaneous presentation of energies now, where it was sequential before.
And am I correct in understanding that sometimes with this energy presentation, time and space itself may shift?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Which allows us to do what science fiction would call shape-shifting or time travel or all kinds
right.
of things that we perceive of as being impossible.
Entering different dimensions that that we have thought would be impossible unless there was a linear change between, say, the third dimension, the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension.
Larkema speaks about the fact that as our linear programming is affecting all of our thinking, that we tend to think that we're going to move from the third dimension to the fourth dimension to the fifth dimension, and people are all excited about being in the fifth dimension. But actually what's happening is that we are accessing many other dimensions. We might pop into an experience of the fifth or the ninth or the twelfth while we're having experiences in the third dimension as well. So it's an exploration of all dimensions that we can access as our awareness increases.
Yeah, that's been my experience. Since 2012, I've had a lot more, experiences of simultaneous experiences of multiple dimensions, including parallel worlds. And so I, you know, it's kind of confusing sometimes to even explain it. I mean, I can't even sometimes put it into words, but I know that I've been doing something another place that isn't the third dimension, and I have evidence of that, but it's like you're probably doing it at the same time you're here.
Yes. Larkema talks about this greatly in public presentations and whenever they're speaking to humans. And what they explain this to be is they don't use the term past lives. They choose to use the term parallel lives. And
right.
what they explain to us is that we're experiencing parallel lives simultaneously as we're here experiencing our outer personalities as ourselves here in the third dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about the ancient old idea of deja vu, of thinking that we're remembering something that has happened. They're telling us that those are simultaneous other dimensional experiences, and that we're mm-hmm. actually having multiple dimensional experiences all the time, every day.
Right. But we're becoming aware of them.
Yes, absolutely.
That's really what it is. We're becoming aware of them. And I assume that's because of this energy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes,
this energy
absolutely.
Is feeding into our chakras and increasing our overall energy within our, you know, our etheric body. So we must have more awareness of what was really already all there all the time.
Yes.
Yes, well said.
Okay.
They talk about 12 strands of DNA instead
mm-hmm.
of the two active ones that modern medical science or modern medicine believes that we possess. And
mm-hmm.
their idea is that there is a dimension connected to each one of the 12 strands of DNA, and that we're
mm-hmm.
capable of contacting all of those 12 dimensions.
And that part of our job here now is to integrate the experiences of each dimension in order to transcend the limitations of time and space.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about time and space. I think it's important to understand why these are constructs. What does Larkham have to say about that?
They talk about time being an illusion that we have used to orient ourselves and give meaning to our lives so that we can orchestrate what we learn and how we progress in our evolutionary journey. But it's a collective illusion. It's something we have agreed to believe, and we're beginning to move beyond it because we are opening our capacity to understand that there are other things besides the time experience.
So what they've been explaining to us is that in order to have our experience here, we have to compartmentalize how we do what we do. An example
mm-hmm.
of that is if we have an appointment to meet someone at a specific time, in order for both of those people or a person in an organization to be together simultaneously, we have to say, we will be there at 11 o'clock. They say that's only a linear understanding of how we can do what we do.
And the same thing applies to space. We tend to perceive space as measured by distance. In other words, if we want to go to China tomorrow, we have to map out how much time it's going to take us to get to this particular space and this amount of distance. Pleiadians
mm-hmm.
don't do that. They can be multiple places simultaneously. And as we move closer in our ascension process, we will be able also to travel instantly or be other places multidimensionally, so that space and time simply cease to exist.
There are many people who remember what it's like to be omnipresent, that they know that they, before this experience here on Earth, that they could be in many places simultaneously. And I think we're re-remembering that ability, and that all of us, whether it's called shape-shifting, time travel, whatever the idea, the focus of the words to explain what that is, many people are experiencing that now.
Yeah, I think most people have an experience of that in the dream state. You know, if you think something, then you can suddenly be there if you're doing any form of lucid dreaming. So that is something that many people who are, you know, more spiritually evolved are used to.
It's the easiest access point.
Right.
But others can do it in what some people would call day visions or experiences
mm-hmm.
that are not only experienced during the sleep state. So different people are experiencing it differently on different levels at this time.
And there's something called bilocation, which is fairly common now among initiates, that people see us in different areas, especially if there's an emergency somewhere.
Oh, we're quite familiar with that. We travel and are seen
right.
often many places where we know that we're here in Santa Fe, but others will call us up
mm-hmm.
and say, well, you were here yesterday or you were there yesterday.
So, right.
And we can have an experience of it from our end also, of, coming back into this third dimensional awareness and going, oh, get so and so is doing such and such and needs some support.
Mm-hmm.
So
right,
yes,
exactly.
That is absolutely happening more and more and more, and we can attest to it that it's true from our experience.
And we're also experiencing something like this. We're seeing friends that we know, deeply held friends. We're seeing them in our environment when we know that they are absolutely somewhere else. But we're experiencing them consciously, physically, here
mm-hmm.
where we are. So yes, that is happening more and more.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. I think that, because, you know, you can call for help in an emergency, and then people show up to help you. It's just great.
Yes.
It's really good. Well, we are coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information?
Sure. Our website is www.larkma.com, and that's spelled LaarkMaa.com. And we don't particularly respond to emails, but we do have a service where people can look on the website. We write letters. So anyone who would like to contact us, write us a letter. It's on the website, and we will write you back.
Mm-hmm.
We do
Great.
Public gatherings. We do personal sessions.
Everything that we have done over the decade of working with LaarkMa is available on the website. We have archival information.
We do monthly calls where people can call in and experience a conversation with LaarkMa. So it's all available. Our service is to offer this information to all who want to be on the journey with us.
And we've only begun to touch on some of the information that LaarkMa has brought out for us. So I would like to invite both of you to be back on Temple of Health, because there's a lot more to talk about.
We would be thrilled.
We would love to spend more time with you. This has been a really wonderful dialogue.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed it as well. And I think the Palladians are here really to help us in a great, very significant way. And certainly their information has always been very high, very clear, and very helpful. And I would like to get more of it out to the listeners of Temple of Health. So we are going to have another short announcement in a few minutes. So we're going to close a little bit early, but I want to thank you very much, P.N. Culla, for joining us today. I really appreciate your taking the time.
It was our pleasure. Thank you for including us.
So we've been interviewing Pia Orlean and Cullen Bard-Smith, who are the authors of Remembering Who We Are, LaarkMa's Guidance on Healing the Human Condition. And we will have them back on talking about other information in both of their books, Conversations and Remembering Who We Are. Right now, we're going to go speak with Mark Anthony, who actually I'm halfway through Mark's book, too, Evidence of Eternity, Communicating with Spirits and Proof of the Afterlife. Mark Anthony is known as the psychic attorney. It's almost as weird as being a clairvoyant plastic surgeon. So I look forward to our interview in the future. Mark, are you there?
Hi, Dr. Kolb. It's good to be here.
Well, thank you for coming on. Now, you're going to be in Atlanta, is that right?
That is correct. I'm on a book tour of Atlanta this Wednesday, April 15th, at 7 o'clock. I'll be at the Phoenix and Dragon Bookstore on Roswell Road in Atlanta.
Well, great. I'll see if I can make it over there and meet you. It's not very far from my office.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, just let us know ahead of time, and we'll be happy to give you a VIP treatment.
So, you want to tell the listeners a little bit about your book? I assume it's Evidence of Eternity that you're doing the book signing on?
That is correct. Evidence of Eternity came out about a month ago, and Dr. Kolb, it's very humbling how it's already become a major New Age bestseller. It's been number one on three different bestseller lists on Amazon alone, and in fact, it's already in a second printing. The publisher, Llewellyn Worldwide, is completely sold out, and we've gone to a second publishing. And what I'm doing with this book is combining science, theoretical physics, human physiology, evidence, and our own belief systems, theology, to explain to people that spirit communication is not only real, but it's a natural phenomenon. And I'm taking the fear and superstition out of spirit communication and bringing it into the 21st century and explaining it in a logical and rational manner.
Well, that's very important because there's an awful lot of, shall we say, judgment about spirit communication, especially about mediums. My goodness, there's a whole bunch of things that need to be turned around in thinking about what mediums are and are not.
Of course, and a lot of the paranoia and superstition emanates from Bronze Age ideology, based in the Old Testament. And you know, and I don't have a problem with anybody's belief system, but we have to realize, and you're a surgeon, so you understand how physiology works and how the electrical system in the human body, and that we have an aura, which is an emanation of our electrical field. Well, we are energy, and as Albert Einstein said, we're light beings, and we are capable of raising our brainwave frequency to a level where it can tie into the higher frequency known as the other side. Long story short, spirit communication is possible. It's not woo-hoo. It's not hocus-pocus. It's based on sound scientific principles, and in one form or another, it's available to everybody.
That's true. And, we've had a lot of recent pretty good demonstrations on television with some fairly very competent mediums, and that's helped make it more mainstream. But I think your book is very, very important in that their background is not really in the type of, you know, higher education that you and I have, so they may not be able to explain it in the way that you explain it in your book, Evidence of Eternity.
Well, I've also been on TV quite a bit, and for the listeners, feel free to go to my website, evidenceofeternity.com. Click on the media room, and you can see the dozens of television appearances that I've been on where I am conducting mediumship connections. And you're absolutely right, Dr. Kolb. A lot of the television mediums, they're not really versed in human physiology, much less an understanding of quantum physics and frequency. And they don't really know how to explain what it is that they're doing. Well, I do.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to do with Evidence of Eternity is because the understanding of mediumship and spirit communication was developed in the Victorian era, and it, by and large, it still is mired there with the Victorian understanding and antiquated terminology. And I'm introducing new terms and concepts to explain this in a way based on our new understanding of energetic transfer, physics, and science.
So why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners again where and when you'll be in Atlanta or any other book signings you have. We're heard nationally, so you can give a little bit of your schedule.
I will be on April 15th, the notorious tax day, at 7 p.m. I'll be in Atlanta. And yeah, if you can't remember the date, remember that. I'll be at the Phoenix and Dragon Bookstore on Roswell Road in Atlanta, and that'll be 7 p.m. I will be conducting communication between audience members and loved ones on the other side. And then in Vero Beach, Florida, on April 18th, I will be at the Spark of Divine Bookstore in Vero Beach. And then in Los Angeles on April 28th and April 30th, I'll be at the Mystic Journey bookstore conducting gallery readings, connections for audience members and loved ones on the other side, and signing copies of Evidence of Eternity at the Mystic Journey bookstore in Venice, California. So I've got several more events coming up. I will be getting all over the country, but I'm so looking forward to this trip to Atlanta because I went to law school in Macon at Mercer University, so it's sort of a bit of a homecoming for me.
Well, hopefully the weather will be as beautiful as it is today. The Dogwood Festival is this weekend, so it's really a beautiful time in Atlanta. We also have an interview. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We We do. We have an interview coming up, and I cannot thank you enough for getting me in so that I could explain to your fellow Atlantans about my upcoming visit to your beautiful city.
Well, great. No problem. Our my interview with Mark Anthony will be aired on the 20th of June, and so stay tuned for that. And we're doing a pre-record, so that's why I'm halfway through the book. Anyway, thanks a lot, Mark. I look forward to meeting you, hopefully, on Wednesday.
I look forward to meeting you as well. And to all the listeners, keep listening to the Temple of Health, and may God bless you with prosperity, inner peace, and good health.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Take care. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week, we are interviewing Colleen Morrow on spiritual telepathy, ancient techniques to assess the wisdom of your soul. And then on the 25th, Dr. Karam, Back to the Future for Mankind, Biogeometry. And then Diane James on the 2nd, The Real Brass Ring, Change Your Life Course Now. Thank you very much for joining us for Temple of Health Radio Show.